Hello, this is Brian McLean, and welcome to Our Story with God, episode 34, Pentecost. So if you've been looking at the calendar, you'll notice that we are now 34 weeks along, and so we are two-thirds of the way through our story. And as you remember, the first third of the story, we looked at the Old Testament, which is the largest portion of the Bible, how it set the stage for Jesus Christ. And the entire second third of our story, it deals with Jesus, his earthly ministry. And today we'll wrap that up. And then the final third, which we will start next week, is going to be an incredible what is left for us now. As one of my New Testament professors would say in seminary, we are going to migrate from the what to the so what. And so, looking at the beginning of the book of Acts. So think back to when you were in school, or if you're currently in school, think about, have you ever attended class and thought, okay, I understand this. I get the point. I get the concept. Bring on the test. And you sit down for that exam and you realize you did not get it because none of these questions are making sense to you and you don't have any of the answers. And how do you think that makes you feel? If you've ever been there, it's not a good feeling. But also, how do you think that makes your teacher feel when you're all, yeah, I got this, and then you don't got this? And he, you know, your teacher, he or she may be just really wondering what's going on. And so as we start the book of Acts, all four gospel writers told, obviously, about Jesus' life, but only one, Luke, continues the story by writing another book. And so we get into the book of Acts, and the first chapter records a brief final conversation that really tells a lot about where the disciples' mindset is. And you read Acts chapter 1, verse 6, the disciples ask, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They didn't get it. They did not pass that test right there. And you have to wonder what Jesus was thinking at the time. Now, obviously, he knew what was going on. But you look at it, and they're still wanting to keep the world out of Jerusalem's business. They want to get the rest of the world out of their home. But listen to what Jesus says two verses later. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Acts 1:8. So they want to keep the world out of what's happening in Jerusalem, and Jesus wants to take what happened in Jerusalem and spread it throughout the world. And that is great news for us who don't have that Jewish heritage. It's amazing. And so with that, Jesus is taken up into the sky and he's obscured from their sight, and his time on earth, his work, his function here on earth is complete. He is done. The first visit of Jesus into his creation is complete. So what do we do now? Peter first takes charge of the new group and he insists that, hey, we need to bring on somebody who has followed Jesus to take the place of the recently deceased Judas, who was the traitor. And so the group is no longer just being disciples, those who follow a leader and seek to model their lives by that example, but they are now apostles, which means they are those who are sent out as messengers. And so they select Matthias to take the place of the late Judas Iscariot. And so Matthias is there with them, and the day of Pentecost arrives. Now, Pentecost was a day that the Jews would celebrate the harvest. It was seven sevens, so 7 weeks later. So seven sevens is 49. So it was the 50th day after the original feast that we had just gotten through with the Passover. And so now the Pentecost comes, and they're going to celebrate the beginning of harvest. And this is so appropriate for what God has planned, because it is harvest time for the kingdom of God. And so all of a sudden, once again, everybody is packed into Jerusalem. It's one of the three times of the year when the Jewish men had to show up. And so here they come. And God selected this point in time to give his greatest gift to those who believed in Jesus in order to begin building his church through them. So the test day is finally here, and God is going to make sure they pass because he is going to give them the power to do so. Listen to this, Acts 2, verses 2 and 4. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And skip forward, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So suddenly the Holy Spirit makes his presence known, although technically Jesus had already breathed the Spirit onto his disciples when he first saw them after the resurrection. You can reference John 20, 22 for that. But Jesus had promised this is what was going to happen in John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So that's the Holy Spirit's job. That's what he's going to be doing. But Jesus didn't say anything about speaking in languages that everybody else could understand. God's Spirit had come on people in a few instances throughout the Old Testament, but now God's Spirit is something that all believers in Jesus will be able to receive. And look at the similarity in Ezekiel 1. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually. That's Ezekiel 1:4. So the Holy One of Israel has arrived, and all of a sudden, everybody around recognizes something is going on. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, they said to one another. What does this mean? Acts 2:11 through 12. So Peter, the once, he was kind of a brash, talkative disciple. A lot of times he wasn't saying the right things. Then he kind of ran away after he was ashamed of his actions when Jesus was on trial and his denial of Christ. But now he steps forth in the power that God's given him, and he gives a simple, straightforward declaration that God's word was fulfilled through Jesus. They had crucified him. Note in verse 23, he does say this was all part of God's plan. And the people were convicted, which means found guilty, and convinced, which means logically persuaded, because of his words. And 3,000 individuals repented of their sins and were baptized. That's important. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. That is the key to salvation through all of this. So in a single day, the church grows tremendously. And of course, the apostles are teaching and they're praying and they're praising God. And so at that point in time, when the Jews are celebrating the harvest, God shows up and he honors Jesus's work with an amazing harvest of souls that join the church. And so only 50 days have passed, and now all of a sudden, this group of believers that was completely dispersed just 50 days beforehand is now unified and growing, and it's amazing. The New Testament church has begun, and its success and growth are evident because we still exist today. So real quick, study the word. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, who can receive the Holy Spirit? And something fun to think about, the word theophany describes moments when the presence of God shows up in mankind, and this is clearly a theophany. What do you think that it means that God's presence showed up among the disciples at the temple, but outside of that Holy of Holies, the veil of which had just been torn in half just a few weeks earlier? So it's an amazing story, and we're about to launch into the third unit, the final unit. What is my role in this story? So the story, our story with God, we have seen all that God has done. Now what is left to us? So thanks for listening. Keep your comments coming. I love hearing you.